Our second scripture lesson today is the Easter story as it is told in the Gospel of Mark. And as most of you probably know, all four of the Gospels of the New Testament tell the same story in a little bit different way. So listen for it today as Mark's Gospel explains. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, good morning once again. It is so great to be with you all here today on this, which is our triumphant holy day, Easter Sunday. Join me again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You know it. And if he is risen, then the power of death no longer has the last word. And if he is risen, then we have hope to rise as well. And if he is risen, then everything in this life is different because of it. There's a story about Peter Gomes, who was a well-known preacher from Harvard University's Memorial Chapel. And some years ago, he went over to England for a visit with the Queen Mother, as you do. And they had been to church together that day, and on the way home, she turned to him and said, "I do like a bit of good news on a Sunday." That's my best English accent. And I suppose we also like a bit of good news on an Easter Sunday, right? We're here for it. We need it. We want it. We are ready to hear that good news. And in the news business, they have a saying. It says, "Don't bury the lead." Have you heard that before? Don't bury the lead. It means that when you're writing a story, don't wait too long to tell the reader what the main thing is. What's the main point of what has happened? And we're not just in the news business, we're in the good news business. And so hear it again. Jesus Christ has overcome and conquered the power of sin and death. And in his rising, we have new life that starts right now. And we also have the promise of eternal life with him forever. We're set free by the resurrection power which is at work in us. Alleluia, amen, end of sermon. Wouldn't that be nice? But there's just one thing. You see, this year we're hearing the Easter message as it's told in Mark's gospel. And one thing that I noticed there, and maybe you saw it too, is that the story of Easter in Mark's gospel, it ends kind of abruptly, doesn't it? It talks about the women who go to the tomb. They're going to anoint Jesus' body with oils and spices to prepare him for a more final burial. But when they get there, they see the stone has already been rolled away, and the tomb is empty, and there's an angelic figure, this young man dressed in white, who's sitting there and says, "He is not here. He has been raised." And that's the Easter message. But then the story ends by saying that they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid. And that's the end. And that's kind of strange, isn't it? It doesn't feel quite right to us to have the story end when it seems to be unfinished. The other night, my wife Lisa cooked dinner for the family, and it included chicken cordon bleu. And our son Theo was kind of poking at it. You know, he ate everything else on the plate, but he wasn't eating that chicken. And so to help him out, Lisa started cutting it, you know, into smaller pieces for him to eat. But as she did so, she noticed the chicken on the inside, it was undercooked. You know, it wasn't fully cooked through, and so it was only half-baked. So she took it off his plate, and she put it back into the oven to finish the job, which was great for him. But not so much for me. I had already eaten all of my chicken. Some things are not as good when they're not fully finished, right? Like a chicken dinner. Or maybe you're like me, and sometimes you get started on a chore or something you're supposed to do, but you only get it half done. Have you ever done that? Like a basket full of half-folded clothes sitting in the living room, like a testimony against you? Or the front lawn kind of half-mowed? Who does that? Or maybe three or four color splatches on a wall, just sort of, it's in the middle of deciding which one to use, and you never really decide? All of this is evidence of an unfinished project. Imagine if you started doing your tax returns this week, and you got halfway through, and you just said, and you said to the IRS, is it okay if I just don't really finish this year? It wouldn't work out well for you, trust me. For some things, if they're not fully baked or finished or done, it's a problem. And some people have read the Gospel of Mark's ending this way. Like, maybe the rest of the story where the women go and tell all about it, maybe the original manuscripts are missing somehow and we lost them. Or maybe something bad happened to Mark, the Gospel writer, and he died before he could finish writing the rest of his Gospel. How can we deal with the unfinished business of the ending of Mark's story? Well, I wonder if you've ever seen the Sagrada Familia Cathedral in Barcelona, Spain. I'll show you. This is a major tourist attraction. Also distraction. Where is it? And it's a must-see if you ever visit that city. It was designed by Antoni Gaudí, and one of the claims to fame is that it has been under construction and unfinished since 1882. Some of you know that. Can you imagine? The Sagrada Familia is the largest unfinished Catholic church in the whole world, and yet it's considered a masterpiece. It's a unique and beautiful building. The cathedral has drawn millions to come and see it, to join in, and to be amazed. Even though it's still unfinished. So what if an unfinished work, like that cathedral in Spain, what if that unfinished work draws us in a different kind of way? What if it invites us to join in, to participate, to be part of finishing it together? I have a neighbor who's like this. He's a collector of what some people might call classic cars that need some work. Other people call it junk. And I'm teasing because I think he's going to be here today. But it brings him great joy to continually work on these old cars. It doesn't bring his wife that much joy, but it brings him great joy. And little by little, he works on them. There's something good about an unfinished project that asks you to keep playing your part, to bring it fully to completion. Sometimes an unfinished project can be good. In a way, this is what the good news of the unfinished story of Easter from Mark's Gospel is all about. It's an invitation to us to get involved. Think about the message of that young man in a white robe sitting in the tomb. He says, he is not here, he has been raised. Look, there's the place where they laid him. And then he tells the women to go to the other disciples and tell them, to share the good news with them. To bring their own fears and doubts and worries and stress and real life situation into it, but by all means to make sure that the resurrection power spreads. They don't want to keep it just in their little group. But this is a real inflection point of all of history, because in that brief holy moment, it was only this small group of women who had gone to the tomb and found it empty and heard the message, he is not here, he has been raised. They were the only people in the world who knew. And the future of the church and the gospel, it all hangs on this thin thread of what that small group does next. Would they keep it to themselves? Would they just cherish it in their own hearts? And maybe at first they did, because they were shocked, they were afraid, they were uncertain. But somehow, that didn't last long. Soon, more and more people were hearing about the resurrection. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church has a title for Mary Magdalene. Remember Mary Magdalene? All four Gospels say that she was a witness to the resurrection. All four Gospels place her at the scene. And they call her the Apostle to the Apostles. Mary Magdalene, the one who is sent to the ones who will be sent to spread the word into all the world. This is an amazing moment to have these resurrection accounts from these women. Some of you will know that the voices of women in that time period were undervalued and not trusted. Testimony of women was not accepted in a legal court of law. So the whole story, the whole future of the church hangs on these seemingly unimportant people, undervalued, marginalized, scared, feeling like, what do we know? And I wonder if some of us might feel like that sometimes too. Like, does my voice matter? My life, my faith, my perspective, my experience, my hurts, my prayers, my gifts? And yet what we see in the Easter story is that God takes these seemingly ordinary, regular people who don't have much standing in the world, and God uses them to bless all of us. Those who first heard about the resurrection of Jesus probably responded the same way as us. They don't know what to do with it. The story is unfinished. So what I want to tell you about the Easter story this Easter Sunday is that God is still using regular people like you and me to finish the story, to tell it, to share it, to explore it, to find out what it means for us. There are times in our lives where we can see the power of resurrection already at work. And there's other times where it seems kind of mysterious, like we might ask, where are you, God? So just a simple question of reflection for you that you can take with you, maybe into your Easter brunch or whatever is coming up next. Where is the resurrection power of Christ already present in your life? Where do you see signs of new life coming up? And then, where is the resurrection power in your life not yet visible? Where do we need God's resurrection power to come still? Some of the good news today is that it isn't all up to us. It isn't all up to you. Even though you are asked to join in the story of Jesus, it's not up to us to complete it on our own. God gives us the gift of other people to help us along the way. I remember some years ago, my family suffered a loss, a death. And we felt like the question, where are you, God, was always on our lips, or on our minds, or on our hearts. And it was in a time like that that we needed other people to help us believe. And you all know that I'm a pastor, so I kind of have to come to church every Sunday, you know? But still, I would come in kind of shock and grief. And there would be all these Bible stories and songs and prayers, and I didn't know if I could say all those words. And what happened is I learned that I didn't have to carry it all on my own because others were here with me. Some of you were here with me. And if you're here today and you're not quite sure maybe where you stand with God or what you believe, or you're here today in a time of loss, grief, suffering, or confusion, receive the gift of God to you on this Easter Sunday. It's an Easter Sunday service where the others around you will also lift you up, where our whole church is finishing the story together. Whether you're just mouthing the words or whispering or humming along, I pray by God's grace that you will be strengthened to find your part in the story. God uses regular people, God gives us community, and God also has great patience because it takes a long time to finish this story. Some of you are familiar with Annie Lamott. She's a best-selling author and also Presbyterian, so she's our gal. And she told the story once of growing up with her brother, who was 10 years old at the time. And he was supposed to write this big report about birds for school. Some of you have heard this. Some parents will resonate with that. You know, this kid had 3 months to write this book report, and he waited until the night before it was due to even bring it up. And so you can picture that scene where they're sitting down at the kitchen table in their house, and he's close to tears. He's surrounded by binder and pencils and unopened books about birds that he hasn't even opened yet. And he's overwhelmed by the task that's ahead of him. How is he ever going to get this thing finished? And his father sat down and put his arm around this boy's shoulders. And he said, "Bird by bird, buddy. Just take it bird by bird." And Annie Lamott uses that advice for writers when they have a big project or something they want to get done, like a book or a story. But I'll leave it with you today as well. The Easter story in the Gospel of Mark is unfinished. And we are invited to join in together to let our lives and our faith, our work and our worship, our service and our voices be part of finishing the work that was started by that small group of women so long ago. It'll take a long time, maybe even a lifetime, but we'll take it bird by bird, little by little, and we get to start again today. Friends, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
May it be so for you. Amen.